Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, our long national nightmare is over.
Yeah, we're going to have an NBA season.
Yeah. I made that same exact joke to Adam on yesterday's Locked On NBA, which also aired on this channel as well. And he didn't understand like the joke. I had to explain the joke to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam's good people, but living in the middle of the country, you can, yeah.
So
point of view, yeah.
We have a lot to get to. There is a ton to dig through in regards to the NBA deciding to come back December 22nd. We talked about it, obviously. I basically cheated a little bit and aired Locked On NBA on this channel as well, just because I thought it was a pretty good look at, for the entire league, what starting on December 22nd was. And then today, I as promised, I said that we would focus more on the Lakers aspect of this. So I want to start with like what you think the reaction to starting December 20th. Like, do you think it's the kind of thing that they're freaking out about, or do you think it's more of like a, well, that kind of sucks, but it is what it is?
You mean amongst the players?
Yeah, players, the organization, because, I mean, they just came off of a year-long season, and not just like any year-long season, one of the most emotionally, you know, exhausting seasons for a variety of reasons. And now basically, you know, you have 12 days as we're recording right now till the draft. Free agency is going to kick off a couple days after that. They're going to be trades that they're going to be have to look at. Frank Vogel is going to have a shortened camp to be able to implement, you know, various aspects of what they did last season, depending on what this roster looks like compared to what we had last year. And you know, I'm kind of wondering across the entire organization, players, coaches, Rob Pelinka, even Jeannie Buss, like, do you think it's the kind of thing where they're seeing it as just an additional challenge, or do you think there's a bit of annoyance at the decision to start when the NBA is coming back?
I think, yeah, it's in the annoyance family, but I don't know if it's actually, it's kind of like you ever have to go to work on like 2 hours sleep. Ever had one of those days, right?
I'm doing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like your alarm goes off and you're annoyed at your alarm, but there's a certain inescapable reality of time, right? Uh-huh. You're just like, well, either I like it or not, it's 6 o'clock and it's time to get up and get ready. I'm exhausted, but there's shit I need to do. I'm hopeful that the 3-4 months that they got off before the bubble helps that out a little bit, where it's not just this like, oh, you got 2 months off and that's it. That it's, but it's gonna be tough. But yeah, this feels, and hopefully this season we can get a nap at some point, right?
Yeah,
so by nighttime we're ready to go party like we did last season. But
yeah,
I think it's got that like going to work on 2-3 hours of sleep type of feeling to everyone, right? Like everyone, we just got done. It's like, oh, well, let's fire back up again. Let's get going. And yeah, so only so much you can do.
Let's pour a recover margarita and see if we can get going.
Hey, man, all we can do.
No, I think that's a good way to look at it. And you know, for an organization that preaches mama mentality and you just got to get the job done, job's not finished, right, was a big slogan throughout these playoffs. I would expect nothing less from than that approach, right? Than that response. If it was anything other than that, you can't claim those things. And like also at the end of the day, I think it's a lot easier to just, you know, wipe the cobwebs out of your eyes and get ready and head off to work when you have a chance at another championship, right? Oh. Like
Hell yeah, man. This is, we've got to, if you have to go through the last 7 years, man, like this is precious. You got to capitalize on this.
Right. Like it would be a lot more difficult if you head into the season and, you know, like, I don't mean to sound like I'm throwing dirt on Miami, but for example, Miami, I think would be, it'd be a lot more difficult to try to get myself ready for the season if I were a member of the Heat, right? I don't have the championship celebration, right? It's you have the lack of the championship hangover, which is, you know, the worst version of that. And then on top of that, I don't think they can really consider themselves any kind of favorite this year unless they make some other move. So you're just looking like, oh my God, this last year was so hard. And man, this is going to be difficult. Like one of the Butler, betting.
He's like, so like the Miami Heat, their mentality is not that they're going to be ready for battle. That's who Miami Heat are. But that
you should try.
Like when, remember in game five, right, the one that they won. And at the end, he was just exhausted.
Yeah.
And that picture of him just draped over they're about it. They got heart and they're going to try their very best, but there's a certain inescapable exhaustion to it that I think you're absolutely spot on with.
One of the betting trends I'm really going to pay attention to at the beginning of this next season, whenever, you know, when it kicks off, is what does Miami look like? Can I make a few bucks off of their exhaustion?
Oh, Anthony, you're such a capitalist.
Hey, man, we got to get it where we can.
I'm going to make money off of your suffering.
All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk more specifically about, you know, the work that actually has to get done. You know, that they do have a ton of work to do here, so we gotta figure out what that might look like, what their priorities might be, how all of this impacts the way that they might go about this offseason. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you'll find a family business that has served auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com for shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clips delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So Adam asked me last night whether coming back and you know, on December 22nd, having a 72-game season that is going to be out of the ordinary beyond even the fact that it's a 72-game season, if that's going to make teams really go for it more, or if they might approach things more conservatively. And my instinct is to say that it'll make, not that this will, those circumstances will make them go for it more, but more like the way that the league looks, right? There's quite a few teams that probably feel like they're maybe a move away from either edging up into the next tier or separating themselves from the tier that they're currently in. And I just think, you know, while there's potentially more to lose it, under these circumstances, like all of these moves, I think have a lower floor than they might normally do. It's also arguable that they have a higher ceiling if those moves work out, if that home run swing works out. I'm interested in your thoughts on that, though.
Yeah, it's kind of like there are different factors at play in this season than there would be in any other season. I think in some respect, this upcoming season has the potential to be weirder on a basketball level than even the bubble was.
Mm-hmm.
And in large part because
absolutely.
Yeah, and like you're talking about teams with enormously different, you know, if so the Lakers and the Warriors, that's going to be a thing. this year. Mm-hmm. Right? The Warriors have not played a game, will not have played a game in since when? March? And we're starting the season in December, so they're going to have it 9 months off.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our last game was on October 11th, I believe. We will have had 2 months off. Now, that is going to yield all sorts of different results, different approaches, different, oh, we're going all in, like you're saying, versus in a Lakers position, especially, we don't know, are there going to be fans at any point during this season?
Yeah.
I don't expect there to be when it starts. Four that's stands, for sure.
Yeah.
But come playoff time, will there be fans in the stands? If not, do the seeds really matter?
Yeah.
Right. So then
maybe a little bit, because you're going to be playing in your home arena. Like there's, you get actual home cooking, you know, but to what, yeah, not to the same extent for sure though.
Right. Like, so that's true, right? You get your home arena, your the sight lines and all of that, but how much extra gas on the pedal are you going to put in a 72 game regular season to, if you're going to arrive at that place anyway, where it, like, maybe there's small differences, but in some ways, is the regular season a 72 game preseason for teams that know they're going to make the playoffs, like the Lakers? You know, I'm much more prioritizing the health of our players and
absolutely
our stars, right? To be able to, we need to be able to get to the point where come playoff time, we're the Lakers that you saw in this last playoff run.
Right. Absolutely.
To me, that's the whole purpose of the regular season, and whatever needs to be done to get there, both on the basketball sense and in a health sense, like that's how you engineer it.
I think that's how they were going to do it, regardless of whether or not fans are going to be in the stands. Honestly, you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis. I don't think they're at all afraid of playing an extra road game.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, when you consider probably their top competition in the conference is still probably going to be the Clippers. It's seven home games. it's you don't have to worry as much about that anyway. I do think the Warriors are interesting. Like the more we, I had Jonathan Sharks on a few, maybe this whole, since the Lakers won a championship, time is this flat circle. But when he was on here, we were kind of discussing the teams that make me the most nervous. And I think the Warriors are the team that makes me the most nervous, just because, like, we talk about the uphill battle that the Lakers sometimes face with math. And the Warriors are the nth degree version of that, right? And if it's a Lakers-Warriors type series, it would be nice to have the extra games so that the Lakers role players can maybe keep up with that math a little bit better than they would on the road. But even there, LeBron has beaten the Warriors without home court advantage and at much greater odds. And yeah, I don't think the Lakers care at all about home court advantage this year. And actually, Adam on yesterday's show, we were talking about potential tweaks to the NBA this year. And he said that the top seed should be able to pick whatever team that they play in the first round, right? And the reason he was talking about that was because, you know, you don't want to be a number one seed and then have the Lakers kind of just tread water throughout the season and get to the postseason. And you're a one seed facing an eight seed Lakers or a two seed facing the seven seed Lakers.
Or even a four seed, right? Like even in the,
right,
the second round, right? Like if you're competing for the number one or two seed and the Lakers are at four or five because they've approached the regular season differently, do you want that before the conference finals? Probably not.
Well, and I kind of laughed at him a little bit because I was like, if we're thinking about teams that could really gun for seeding, Denver feels like it's up there. Where's this coming from, Adam? You know, but it's the kind of thing though that I think for the Lakers this year, and it's funny, people keep asking, I've seen this asked a couple times on Twitter, like, what are the Lakers' top priorities this regular season? And I think every single person I follow said some version of health. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And now there are some irons that are wrinkles that you would like to iron out, right? The half court offense and stuff like that. There are some details that we would like to iron out over the course of the year, but for the most part, all that's going to matter is whether or not LeBron James and Anthony Davis are 100%.
I've been thinking about this lately, and while that's true, and I'm the one espousing the priority that I think there's danger in this.
Yeah.
If you go through a regular season and act like none of it matters and you can just flip the switch on in the playoffs, you become the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
You do not want to become the Los Angeles Clippers. So it is important that we set basketball goals and accomplishments throughout the regular season that can jive with this idea of this very real idea of we need to be healthy. So to me, that means giving expanded roles to whomever's on the team. We're probably going to have this crazy flurry of, we'll see what the team looks like first, but of the current guys that we're expecting back, that's a, you know, maybe expanded role for Caruso. And that means talking about adding the three ball or the ball handling pick and roll responsibilities that we were talking about the other day, right? THT getting more minutes. Cause like, I want the guys that are playing minutes to be able to play hard. Got to have LeBron out there, got to have AD out there. And I don't want either player putting their foot all the way down on the gas like it's the playoffs from night to night. But if you are able to put more guys in bigger roles that will, like if we get AC or THT or even Kuz, the different guys playing bigger roles during the regular season, what is the value of that in the playoffs? Can they handle a little bit extra responsibility than they did before? I think it makes your team better in the long run. So investing, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like investing in younger players through playing time solves both problems of, it gives you guys who are playing hard and locked in and doing everything that they can and respecting the basketball while preserving that health as much as possible. Do you have any ideas like along those lines of kind of have your cake and eat it too?
Well, I think for starters, I think those are two separate questions, right? Like if you think of it just in terms of seeding and wins and losses, then I don't really care much about that. But like, as we've learned, like even so, for example, the Lakers obviously wound up winning more games than anybody in the conference last year. But I now, looking back, having seen what they did in the postseason, I appreciate more some of the things that drew us in that drove us insane over the course of the year. Right, like the post touches for Anthony Davis is something that we've talked about quite a bit. Where like you're technically not, quote unquote, valuing the win. And eventually you get to winning time and some just natural habits kick back in and you want to win that game. But over the course of that game and over the course of the season, the top priority actually is positioning yourself so that come the postseason, you understand better. And I don't think it's any coincidence that LeBron James is on this team. And that was an approach that they had because like, he knows what wins in the postseason. He saw Kevin Durant rip to shreds anybody who was trying to guard him. And he's seen Kawhi Leonard have success against the Warriors when he was watching the Raptors and the Warriors play there too. So he was basically like, all right, we have this gigantic advantage here in Anthony Davis in that he can hit those shots. He can. So let's really focus on that over the course of the regular season in hopes that it pays dividends come the playoffs. And I think it absolutely did. And I think somebody who isn't a Laker fan will probably call me insane or a homer for thinking that that was a process or that that was something that they were really focused on. But at the end of the day, you do have those results there. And I thought it was a pretty clear process.
Bro, 100% that was intentional, because there were so many times we were yelling about this, right? Where we were like, oh, this is not an efficient play to throw the ball to, like,
right. They're hunting matchups too much. Remember how often we were saying that?
We were, right? And so there were plenty of circumstances where doing something else would have made more sense for that circumstance.
Yeah.
But the goal was in a different place and they were right about doing that. We saw the results of it.
So, and so to go back and answer your question, I think it's the same thing that's going to go on, right? Depending on the way that this team is put together, they do have to see, all right, we saw what Alex Caruso did in the role that he did last year. Can he expand that a little bit? If Markieff Morris, for example, is back with the Lakers next year, one of the things that they tried to do when they tried to sprinkle in with mixed to negative results was try to play him at the five. Well, I think that had a lot to do with the limited amount of time that they had to try to work that into their system. Mm-hmm. So is that something that, like, maybe the lineups with Markieff at the five get killed over the course of the postseason, but doesn't make progress so that come postseason time, that's a thing that they can maybe go to. And like, those are the things that I don't care about the wins and losses. I care a lot more about the process behind the season.
Yeah. That's a, like, finding five man lineups that work well together, yeah. Or even two or three men. Like, one of the things that we discovered last season, or at least Vogel did, is on opening night, Alex Caruso was a DNP CD. And mm-hmm. throughout the season, it wasn't just like, oh, Alex Caruso is really good, which he is. And Vogel discovered that. It was like, oh, Alex Caruso makes LeBron better, right? Like you get,
that's such an insane sentence. Alex Caruso makes LeBron James better,
right? It allows, like, I hope people understand what I mean.
Right. It goes both ways, but it's wild.
Yeah, right. It helps you get the most out of LeBron James,
yeah.
Or the connection between LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because AC sits a kick-ass screen for AD in the corner. Mm-hmm. And now he's more open, and you've got one of the great finishers of all time in AD with one of the great passers of all time in LeBron. But it's in part because he's more open, because this guy's at the screen. So finding those, like, little group, like, oh, hey, KCP. And if you run KCP around this Horns handoff play, he can make this great pass to Dwight, and Dwight's one of the great rim rollers of all time, you know?
Right.
And so finding these little, like, two and three man interactions, that's part of the regular season value for the Lakers too.
Yeah, I think that's all of the regular season value, because they're going to win enough games. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. So it's just a matter of where they're going to be, who their matchup might be. And honestly, like, after seeing what they did last year, I don't even think you really have to match up on come postseason anyway. You know, you don't have to go out of your way to do that much. Because I just, for one thing, I think the Western Conference is going to be a slugfest no matter what route you take. But on top of that, like, the Lakers we've seen is well situated to handle that. Let's take one more break here, and then we come back. We got to talk a little bit about the you know, you talked about the flurry of moves and all of that. I legitimately don't know what this team is going to look like next year, just because you win a championship, and under normal circumstances, it's the smart thing to do is opt out. So the Lakers first have to find that stuff out, and then try to find value on the market, which they, I think, is going to be attainable, because you're going to get ring chasers who also want to be Lakers. So Pelinka has his job cut out ahead of him, and it's all going to start basically with the draft in less than 2 weeks. So we got to figure out, like, what this offseason might look like. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. We talked about the way that the basketball players and what the basketball might look like. We have no idea who the players are actually going to be. And I, without getting into specific names, I'm kind of curious, like, we've talked about whether or not they would want to run it back or maybe tweak it to be more efficient on one end of the quarter or whatever. And I think you and I are both in agreement that they will mostly run back their identity. It's kind of hard. Like after you win a championship, the more I've thought about it, like initially I was on board with maybe tweaking it to be more efficient on the offensive side of the court, just because some of what we saw in the bubble was a bit of an anomaly. But with that said though, you almost never see champions, you know, make that kind of identity-based shift. That never happens.
I want to see somebody beat our defense first before I make too much in the way of changes to our identity. Mm-hmm. We could be frustrating and we would screw off games, even a finals game where we're not entirely locked in and focused, and we covered that extensively. But when you were talking about the Warriors, I want to see our closeouts versus their three-point shooting. They're going to win some battles. They're going to win a lot of battles. But good luck beating us as a three-point shooting team. I want to see it happen. And I don't want to change our identity until – and maybe they can do it. Maybe that happens and we can't get out to those guys and we do get burned from beyond the arc to an extent that we would lose a series. I can't tell the future in that respect. But I want to see it because that was some of the great all-time defense I've ever seen, and that's magical, and you don't give that up easily. So if we can preserve that identity, that's the route that I would I mean, obviously I want great offense too, but if I had to pick, that's where I go.
I think the difference for me with Golden State is that, like, the Lakers had a lot of success closing out specifically to the three-point line, and not, you know, they faced Damian Lillard, who can shoot from, you know, for a few feet beyond the three-point line. Beyond that though, most of the guys that they were closing out to and having success closing out to mostly rely on shots where their toes are right up against the line. And, you know, Steph is Dame on steroids in terms of the way he can pull and where you have to close out to him. So that makes me a little nervous. But yeah, the foundation and the basic theory of what you're talking about, I completely agree with. Like, that it's just the thing that makes you special, right? You don't want to take away from that. And the defense is what made the Lakers special last year. And if you take away from that and the gamble on the other end doesn't pay off, well, then now you're just a straight up lesser team. and I think that's what you got to avoid.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I have none to add to that for sure.
And so regarding the timeline here, do you think they keep their pick? Do you think they keep the pick and use it on somebody, or do you think they try to bring in more tried and true talent right now, given the fact that they are smack dab in the middle of a legitimate championship window?
Oh man, this is a depends type of answer. And what I think it depends on is how good of a guy can you bring in with that pick, right? Like, it's not something where you hoard it and you say no to a trade or something that can make you better now. That said, the length of our championship window will in part be determined by what we do with our late first round picks, with what we do with our seconds. There have been reports that there's some available to be bought, and, you know, so that's another route. The depth that we can accrue, if we can find rotation guys in those spots, and this is a scouting department. Like, I believe organizationally, it's always smart to play to your strengths. Whatever your strengths are, whatever organization you are, you want to, if your choice is, do we go this route where it requires the people who are really good in our organization to do their job, or do we go this route where not as much, which I'm not saying this is a choice of that, but like, I want our scouting department to have late first round picks and second round picks and all that. Cause if you get a dude who could play in those spots, then you're really in business, right? The economics of that are really helpful, particularly on a two superstar team. It's hard to fill out that roster, right? Billing did a great job of that. Paid what? Several guys that could combine $11, $12 million. Dwight, Markieff Morris, Alex Caruso, all these guys that contributed. So that's part of the challenge of building a championship team when you got two max guys. So I want our guys to have that, but that guy's probably not going to be in the rotation this year, right?
Yep. So that's where I'm at too.
But I would argue though that guy could be a part of the load management health approach while still getting something productive done during the regular season. Whomever we draft, if we kept that pick, could get decent minutes early on. They could take their lumps and learn some of the things they need to learn about the NBA while getting minutes, or at least practice time, so that even if they're not like a THT type of arc, right? THT was a second round pick, spent most of the year in the G League, got a little bit of run. And then coming into this year, we're like, and toward the end of this past year, like, hey, check him out. He's developed. He could be something going into next year. If we can have a first round pick go into next season as a guy that we think, like, hey, they could be part of the rotation, that's a big one.
The other thing I think that needs to be brought up is the kind of stuff that they appear interested in doing in free agency. And if you're going to try to, you know, max out your roster with three max guys, that doesn't leave you very much cap room. And the way that you expand your cap room is by finding a first rounder who can also be a rotation player, whose bird rights you have, and you can now dip into the luxury tax to improve your team. That's another reason to maybe stick with, you know, just drafting somebody and hoping that that pays off down the road. But even saying that, I think I'm of, and what's funny is I bet if you were to go through most of the shows that we've done like this since the Lakers got LeBron, I've been pretty on board with just trading their first rounders, like, especially once I got Anthony Davis. I just don't, down the road doesn't matter to me. Is my basic thing. Like, it down the road, like, win another championship this year and deal with down the road when down the road comes.
So this idea of keeping the pick is not something that I'm married to. It always comes with that. Hey, if you can, titles are precious. If you can get somebody that definitively helps you now, totally go for it. But down the road does matter to me too, because I think this could be a dynasty. I think LeBron in particular, I think he's going to continue to age exceptionally well. And we've got that with the 27-year-old Anthony Davis. And I think, but part of extending that window, we saw with like the Shaq Kobe Lakers, part of why that died out is because we sold and traded and didn't do well on our late first. So there was nobody kind of coming up behind them, not to take their spots as Shaq and Kobe, but to be a good team, a guy that is a good seventh man in a playoff rotation that you drafted in 3-4 years down the line. He's a contributor, right? We didn't have those guys. And that's part of why the Shaq Kobe thing didn't get titles toward the end, or in that last year in particular. I think that there's value, and it's such a strength of our team, Anthony, that if there's not a guy that you point to and say, yeah, he's worth trading our first round pick for, I think you keep it, because I trust that we'll be able to hit on that pick more often than not.
Yeah, that's the fairest point, is how great the scouting department has been at that place in the draft. You know, that's, and also, by the way, another thing to your point is that, like, they've been really good at identifying talent, and not always optimal in terms of developing said talent. And so long as Phil Handy is around, you want to give him a shot at developing who, you know, you have this great scouting department, and you have probably one of the best, if not the best, developmental coaches in the NBA.
There are other really good developmental coaches on the staff too. Yeah.
Well, right. But this is, I feel like this is a better equipped staff in general, largely in part because Handy is now in house to actually optimize whatever talent that the scouting department is really good at identifying.
You know, one route they can go is, it could be a draft and stash type of guy, but the Pascal Siakam type, where there's this guy with great physical tools, but doesn't have them developed yet. And so he's a late 20s type of pick. And then you get them with those great development guys, and all of a sudden you got this guy with tools that you can't teach, but now he's got the skills that have been added on top of that. But he might not contribute right away or in the first year or two. I'd be fine with that type of guy if they were to identify him as well.
That might even be my preference, the more I think about it. Is because, like, the thing that you kind of run into, and this was something that plagued the Clippers, for example, was they kept trying to draft ready-made talent, you know, lower ceiling talent, but talent that they could, during the Lob City era, they kept on trying to bring in guys who could, quote unquote, help right away. And if that's your priority, then if that player doesn't work out and doesn't help right away, then down the road is also shot, right?
Because and you shouldn't be trying to help right away through the draft, almost by definition, right?
Right. Yeah. And so I would probably rather just, you know, just take the guy with the higher upside and let that upside come to fruition whenever it does. And under Phil Handy and the way that the Lakers organization is situated now, I think it's more likely that it you do reach closer to that ceiling. So it's interesting, man. We got we went from like a whole extra month of having to fill these shows, and now we have 2 weeks of now studying up on draft stuff, which I am awful at, by the way.
No, I hope I'm gonna listen to people who know what they're talking about. And like, I'll do research, and whomever we draft, I will watch as much tape on them as I can so I can learn them. But it's way too late in the game. I'm fascinated to know. I've talked to some people about the scouting process. Like, think about the scouting process for this draft.
Yeah.
That department that's been so kick-ass has to do it under completely different conditions than they've been.
They have 2 weeks. They've had a month. Like, by the time, when did the season end? It ended...
October 11th was our last game.
Okay. So they had 5 weeks.
It's the time, but it's also the like draft workouts. There's no combine.
Right.
College season ended just like all of a sudden. Are they bringing, I don't know the draft rules on this. Forgive my ignorance, but are they bringing in guys for workouts? Can you do that right now?
I think they finally okayed that.
Okay, but you didn't get the whole time to do it, right? No. So you're making these evaluations off of way less information than you were before. So there are probably going to be more draft misses this year than in a normal year. But there's also opportunity in that, right? Like some guy that hopefully we're able to spot that maybe the rest of the NBA didn't at 28. It's like, oh, we got ourselves a quite the player. And so, yeah, there's opportunity in that, but it's going to be way different and a lot harder.
I actually think that might make it harder to trade the first rounder now that we think about it.
Well, because teams aren't as like, that's my guy, because they haven't. That's a great point.
They aren't going to be as sure. So, yeah, we'll see. That's going to do it, though, for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm publishing this immediately. It is 2:40 my time out here in Texas, 12:40 back home in California. I would imagine at some point this evening they're going to announce that Joe Biden succeeded in getting at least 270 electoral college votes. And however you feel about this, you guys probably know how I feel about it. But all I'm asking is that you guys remain safe and smart, and you know, try to get through this. We know we've already seen the protests in Arizona. We've seen a protest elsewhere on the other side of things. This is going to be a very emotionally charged response and reaction to this result. And please, I'm begging you guys, please be safe out there. The last thing that we want right now is to have even more tragedy to close out 2020. So have a great rest of your weekend. Please be safe out there. Make some adjustments. Talk to you on Monday.